I've only skipped three classes this whole year, and it's all been this semester.
Well, my track record's not the best.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I've probably skipped overall 20 times.
Oh my gosh, Haley, get your life together. Hi, this is Jasmine.
It's Haley.
And this is Cults, Conspiracies,
and Other Creepies.
We got it right this time. Oh, we were really messed up last time, guys. I'm sorry about that. That was a mess. Like, intro-wise, at least. That was a mess.
We weren't doing, like, we haven't done it in forever.
We have not, yeah, we have not recorded a podcast since, like, beginning of March. And right now, it's beginning of April, basically.
Man. Yeah, it's like 1 or 2 days.
Yeah. Then. We've been behind our game and we're sorry, but...
Well, you were out for a week over spring break.
Yeah, so that kind of factored into it, but I can't wait for the summer when we have more time and I don't have to deal with business classes because I hate business, even though I'm majoring in it. It is annoying. Who cares about microeconomics? No one. Who wants to be an accountant? No one.
My boyfriend.
Wait, he's being an accountant now. I know he wants, wait, he's minoring in it.
Accounting,
right?
Yeah. But okay. He said that's he might be as soon as he graduates from college, he might be accountant.
Oh, like get a CPA.
Yeah. Good luck to him.
Yeah, tell him good luck because accounting is rough.
I told him, and he goes, "I'll be fine."
It's not as rough as microeconomics, so I just like tune that lady out.
Well, I'm taking psychology classes, so that's all good and dandy.
But
my major is this.
Haley's learning about fun things. I'm learning about things no one cares about.
Yeah, I'm learning fun things that you can use in everyday life and some stories where I just question why I'm living.
Yeah.
And
though, okay, we were just talking about this yesterday when we went to dinner. We went to get Mexican food, and I was talking about how crazy all my professors are. Like, I have had wild professors.
This is why, like, I have a system down, because in college right now, we're about to make our fall semesters for 2019. And I go on Rate My Professors and like
check out ratings.
I like check out the ratings. I read all it. I ask people around me who are like higher up, like seniors and like stuff like that. I'm like, hey, what professors do you recommend?
Mm-hmm.
On top of that. So then I get good professors that aren't crazy. That's going to teach me very well.
Yeah.
Because I have really no bad professors. Well, last semester I was like that first, like the... it's like university studies, like
UI 100 is what it's called
on our campus.
But my UI 100 teacher, Haley's heard some of the stories, but she was crazy. Like, she flirted with all the guys in our class. And picture this woman with bright red dyed hair. She's in probably 60. She had my dad my dad was a student.
I thought you said teacher. Dad's not that old.
No, he was not her teacher. She was his teacher, and she flirted with all the guys. One time she was talking about what guys should wear for business clothes, and she goes, khakis.
My professors are super kind and sweet, and like only that, like that class I had to take, my professor was very monotone and like did not care about the class at all, because like all professors have to do it at least once. And like, she was a history professor and like she did not care about anything. I skipped that class also a lot because it was like 8 o'clock in the morning. She did not take attendance at all and we did not do nothing almost the whole time.
I've only skipped three classes this whole year, and it's all been this semester.
Well, my track record's not the best.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I've probably skipped overall 20 times.
Oh my gosh, Haley, get your life together.
I do. It's just like it probably was mostly my 8 o'clock class last semester for that professor, because I hated her. Like, she was so monotone. She didn't know what she was doing. And like, we would do stupid assignments that weren't even for a grade. And just,
I've like never had a normal professor. Like, I have like African. I literally have an African prince is my nutrition teacher. Like, and he thinks I'm Asian too.
Oh my God.
And if you go on our Instagram, you can tell like I'm very pasty white. Like, I am not Asian.
Well, also, you don't have none of the characteristics.
I know.
Like, face-wise, anything like that.
I don't know. Who knows?
Who knows? I was like, you might have a little, but it's not like...
It's not like you would look at me and you'd actually think that. Yeah. So
yeah, I'm like staring at you very hard. I was like, maybe like one or two traits like I could maybe see, but yeah, no.
But yeah, that's wild. So let's get into some conspiracies and crime today. And Haley's gonna start us out with a crime.
Yeah. Also, I'm sorry for people who are in college because we're just rambling on about it. Okay, Jasmine has never heard of this. You're going to love this.
I'm so excited.
I looked it up on podcasts because how I research is I listen to a ton of podcasts about it and see all the information I can get and what I like and don't like about certain podcasts and how they arrange the information and everything. There was only two podcasts that went over this topic.
Ooh.
Maybe three. But yeah. So, and they were like, never really heard of podcasts, like very way back, like you had to search. Linda Riss, she was born on February 23rd, 1937. She was this beautiful woman. When she was a child, she was like very not the perfect size for that time.
Mm-hmm.
They thought she was very like chubby and just so she went on a diet. She like lost a whole bunch of weight. Why I'm telling you the information, it's important later. So she's very beautiful like now, like at that time, like because she was in the story, it's 1942, so like she's, I want to say like 20, like early 20s, like late teens, around there. I don't have exactly the age. She was just this very beautiful woman. People reminded her, like, she reminded people of, like, certain actresses. And she was just very, like, pretty. Okay, so, like, actually. Okay, so, the time now is 1957. Linda, she meets this guy named,
Bert?
Bert, that. Sorry, I'm mind fogged. Okay, so Bert and Linda, they met in the like early 1975s. Okay, he's 30 and she's 20 at the time.
Okay, 10 years difference. Not
10
bad.
Years. So she lives with her mother and her grandmother. And her mother hates men and everything. And she's like, so like, Bert was like, saw her at this park, at this event. And he's just like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. And she's like, oh, nice. Like, nice to meet you. So he got her name. Mm-hmm. So then he went in the phone book, found her address, sent her a bunch of roses and said, I'll call you.
Oh my gosh, modern sliding into the DMs.
So he called her. So they went on a couple of dates. And then, like, on the third date, he's like, by the way, I'm married with a kid. But I'm going to divorce her. Because I'm so in love with you.
What the heck?
So she's like, okay, well, I'm not going to go on a date with you until, like, I see proof that, like, you are divorced. So what he did was he got the divorce papers. Linda's mom was like, hey, get some numbers off of it and we're gonna double check it to make sure it's real. Turns out it's fake. He forged the divorce papers, so she broke up with him.
Shady dude right there.
So yeah, and he was like, because he was a lawyer, so he was like filthy rich too, so like his wife wasn't gonna divorce him. He was a ladies man, so like, she's like, as long as you're bringing in the money, you can cheat all you want, basically. So he wooed her back in like the 1980s. I mean, 1958. I was like 80s.
We're jumping.
No, no. I just saw time travel. I'm like, okay, 1958.
There we go.
He wooed her back within the same year they broke up.
Okay.
So yeah, I just saw the 8, and I don't know why my brain went there. He forced Linda to go to a doctor to prove that she was a virgin. Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. So he still didn't divorce his wife, but she still threatened to stop seeing him if he didn't file, which he didn't. It gets a little crazy. They had a really good relationship,
mm-hmm.
but he would always argue with her that he wanted to have sex with her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, no. Like, at the time, like, you have to be a virgin or else, like, you're not going to get a man.
Yeah.
If she ever broke up with him. So she was like, no, I'm not going to have sex. So he was like, well, then. Okay, well, so he got these pills from this doctor. They're called knockout pills at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he put in her coffee and he's like, okay, well, like, one night when they were out.
No.
So he's like waiting for her to drink it. So she drinks her coffee, finds out the topic didn't dissolve. But she was like dozing off anyways because it was like late at night. She got mm-hmm. a little tipsy. Like, so he like put like she he like tried to put his hand like under her shirt and like mm-hmm. she woke up and she was like, you need to get out.
Yes. Clap back.
Okay. So that happened and it just, yeah. September 1958 or so in the year. He bought her engagement ring and he was still married. So it's just all crazy. I'm going to go skip a little bit, but they were just on and off a lot. She finally broke up with him. She was like, I'm done with your abusive. At one point he hit her and she grabbed a knife and like, okay, so he was in the bedroom
mm-hmm.
and like she said something. And, like, he just started hitting her and all this. So she ran out of, her bedroom. And she shut the door. And then she went to the garage. And she was living with her mom at the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
So she grabs a knife, like, stands at the door, like, about to open the door and kill him. But she's like, okay, no, no. I can't do this. I can't do this.
Wow.
So, yeah, she's like, no, I can't kill him. So she, like, filed it to the police, like, the threats and all that. They didn't do nothing. But yeah, no, he was very controlling. Like, she ate, like, he, like, ate breakfast with her, lunch, dinner, like, everywhere she went. Like, he went to her work. Well, when they broke up, he kept on begging her to go back to him. He's like, please, I want to go back to you. Like, I love you. Everything like that. Trying to bribe Linda with money. Everything like that. Well, Linda met this guy named Larry. And May 1959 they kind of dated like before mm-hmm. Bert. So Linda was like, no, he's a white kinder guy, he was in the military, so they lost connection that way, and they got engaged on May 24th. They had an engagement party and their announcement per se
mm-hmm.
in June. Bert visit Linda's father, which had like he had really nothing to do with her, so he didn't know about the situation. So Bert found out about Linda's engagement to Larry. So on June 14th, 22-year-old Linda, she was celebrating her engagement, and at this time, like, Bert's just like, I want to love you. Like, I will do anything. Like, he got to the point where he said, you know what? If I can't have you, no one else can.
Oh, no. That's when everything goes down.
So, with, like, she's filing the reports and stuff. Well, there was a cop on the inside that was working with Bert. And at one point, he was going to kill her. Like, planned to kill her.
Oh my gosh.
Like, him and the cop was planning to kill her at that time. And they wait outside of her house. Well, the smart cookie made sure, like, she, like, went to other friends' houses on like, patterned way so, like, he would never find out where she was and, like, wow. All this.
She is smart.
So, he does. Was this man pays, like, he even paid a woman to find a guy to beat up Linda so then Linda would go back to him. Yeah. So, with that, after hearing the engagement, all furious and everything, so, and making that threat, he paid someone to throw a
lie.
So, Linda opened the door because she, like, oh, it was like after her engagement, she thought it was like someone delivering engagement, like, present, because, mm-hmm. you know, that was a thing. Yeah, I have like 2 cents in that, and that wasn't in there. It's a lie. So she opens the door. Someone throws lie in her face, which caused blindness, burning skin. And she knew exactly who it was. So she was left blind in one eye. She could kind of see in the other eye. But they arrested him. He It was this weird court thing because he tried to plead insanity, but he also didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knew if...
Like, he couldn't decide what he wanted to do.
And he was a lawyer, so he, like...
Did he defend himself?
He tried. So, yeah. At one point, he started cutting his wrist, and he was like, Linda, I love you. Like, please, like, why are you doing this? I'll send you money. Like, he sent her, like, $50 installments, like, every mm-hmm. week. And, like, from jail, he found her phone number somehow.
What the heck?
She had, like, changed her phone number so many times, and somehow he found her phone number, started calling her, like, her house phone, and, like, was like, please come back, like, I love you. Well, he had gotten only 14 years in jail.
Oh, my gosh.
And as soon as he got out, he went on television, and he was like, please, I love you, Linda, like, I will marry you on the spot. Why he why he still wanted to, like, marry her and all that after the lie mm-hmm. was because he was like, no one else is gonna love you. And at that time, her engagement was broken off because he didn't love her because of her face and she was blind. And he's like, I'll take you, like, you're not damaged to me. So everyone, even a fortune teller, was like, you have to marry this man, this is the only way he's gonna stop.
Oh my gosh.
So, they got married in 1974, during a, like, civil, like, service. Mm-hmm. So, like, I think he never got divorced from his wife because he never said, so I'm assuming that's what they mean by that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if his wife died either. I don't know. Just all this craziness happened. And when they were married, in 1996. So, like, he had, like, an affair while she was, like, married to him. And he was doing the same stuff she was doing. Like, he was doing the same stuff, like, to Linda, like, to this girl. He was like, mm-hmm. I'm going to pour a lie on your face. Like, do not. And Linda, in court, was like, oh, he's the best husband in the world. Like, I wouldn't do anything. Like, he's such a good husband. And that court, like, no, he Linda. Was not found guilty.
Oh, and it was my just God.
Crazy. But, yeah, they were married. She died from heart failure. I want to say, like, 2013.
Oh, okay. Around there. So that's pretty recent.
Yeah, it's pretty recent. But he's still alive.
Oh, my gosh.
But, yeah, no, he just disfigured her and was so just... Like, because with a police aid, like, he would never get out of jail. Like, no, he would get out of jail sooner because he would be in mental hospital, but he could never practice law again.
Mm-hmm.
So if he didn't play insanity, he could get in jail for life or, like, however.
Mm-hmm.
Not for life, but for a very long time yeah. and still could practice law.
Oh my God.
But he wanted to try to get where, like, he was found not guilty and then he could still be practicing law. So, yeah, mm-hmm. it was just crazy.
Whoa, that's wild.
But, yeah, he got some jail time. for like assault, and he stalked her, and she changed her phone number. He went to like her work, he like begged her and like all this, and like everyone was like, date, marry him. Like,
why?
He's such a good man. He's rich.
He's not a good man. He's throwing lie in your face. His name is Bert, which is a shady name.
Oh my god.
I don't know.
Linda's mother was like, Judy, he's crazy. And she was the only one that was correct and like, okay, wasn't.
Linda's mom is the real hero of this story.
But no, I found this story and it's not a like killer, but it's so crazy how like he stalked her.
It's like toxic relationships. Like, it's 101.
So there's actually I think a documentary. I didn't know if it was a documentary or a movie, but it's called Crazy Love. Mm-hmm. It's a documentary over this. But that's so crazy how everyone, even a fortune teller, was like, yo, like, you need to marry this dude.
No.
That's the only
Don't
way
to do it, Linda.
Stop.
But you already did. So
also, she was a virgin when they got married. So then he was mad at her, mm-hmm. like, oh, well, you're not a virgin anymore. Why is that? You didn't do it for me, but you did it for this other guy. So like, he would like argue about that and stuff like that.
Not a great guy. Well, I guess we're getting into my conspiracy now.
But yeah, I thought this crime's so mind-blowing. Because it's like, he poured lie on this woman's face.
Yeah.
Just so he could have her.
Exactly. That's like, really, really having to have her.
Yeah. So I thought it would be a nice switch up. I was going to do another case, but then I like heard this one. I was like, yeah. Okay, I have to do it. This just blows my mind how like, she was so dedicated. Like, the police did not help her one bit.
Well, today I'm going to be talking about not the Bermuda Triangle, but the Bennington Triangle. So if you've never heard of this, which you might not have because it's not as well known, it's in Vermont. So it's like this little triangle of Vermont, and it's mostly forest in the middle. It's centered around Glastonbury Mountain, and it's an area in kind of southwest Vermont, and about 5 to 10 people have mysteriously vanished here. There's also been some like plane crashes and just a lot of weird things going on here. So back in 1761, so we're really throwing it back, there was a ghost town in Glastonbury, Vermont on this mountain. It was mainly like charcoal and lumber, and it became a tourist destination. But then in the 1930s, about everyone started moving out of Glastonbury because like it was really bad flooding and landslides and like lumber would fall and it was not a great place. So almost everyone left except the Madison family, who occupied like every public office in town. So yeah, it became a ghost town. So now the legends of the Bennington Triangle. People have seen UFOs, there's strange lights, there's Bigfoot sightings. Some locals say that there's stone that if you step on it, it will swallow you.
Stone?
Yeah, like just a big rock, you know? There's also people say like the wind is disorienting. So sometimes you'll know where you're going, but the wind will like disorient you. So then you'll like all of a sudden be lost, even though you know exactly where you're going. In the 1860s, there were stories of a wild man, and there's some murders around the time of the 1860s, so they thought maybe it's this wild wilderness man out here killing people. There is also sightings of an 8-foot-tall Bigfoot-like creature around the 1860s, and people have like guessed, is it something going on? Like, is there a serial killer around this area? Is there something paranormal happening with like UFOs and lights and like rocks that you step on and you get swallowed? But yeah, that's kind of the legend. So now we're mainly going to talk about the 5 disappearances that happened between 1945 and 1950. And these are all so strange. Like, some of these really have me shook. So the first one is in November 12th, 1945, 74-year-old Mittie Rivers disappeared while out hunting. And Mittie Rivers was like a super experienced hunter, fisher. Like, he knew his way around these woods.
That's the creepy part, is when people like their experience, or like they have so much training over this.
Yeah. And then they like disappear. So he was actually guiding a group of four hunters up the mountains. And on the way back, he kind of got ahead of the group, you know, because if you know where you're going, you're going to kind of walk a little bit ahead. So he got ahead of the group and then he was never seen again. So the four hunters were like, he just literally disappeared. And they went out searching for him. And the only thing they found was a single rifle cartridge that was found in a stream. And some people have speculated that Rivers leaned over and like the cartridge like dropped out of his pocket into the water. Like it just like somehow fell into the water. So really it gives them nowhere like to look for him. Like they literally have no idea where this man went. So then we hop to about a year later. Paula Jean Weldon was 18 and she disappeared on December 1st, 1946. She was a sophomore at Bennington College. And I think this was during spring break. Not spring break, like a fall break. It was during like some break from school. And she went out on a hike on the Long Trail and many saw her, including Ernest Whitman, who was a Bennington Banner employee. And he gave her directions while she was out on this trail hiking. So she was seen on the trail by an elderly couple who were about 100 yards behind her. And you know how you're hiking behind someone and like you see them and there's a corner and they turn. So she turned the corner and when the couple reached the corner, she was gone, like nowhere to be seen. So then there was an extensive search was conducted when she didn't come home from college because her roommate didn't see her. And like people on campus were like, where is she? So then they notified authorities and they started searching and they actually had a $5,000 reward for information on her. And they actually had help from the FBI too, but they found no evidence whatsoever. There were some rumors that she moved to Canada with a boyfriend, but these are like, there's no evidence behind these. And there was also rumors that she became a recluse living in the mountains. And people were kind of upset with the way the police handled this case. They thought they didn't do a very good job of searching. So this actually led to the creation of the Vermont State Police. There was no Vermont State Police before Paula Jean Weldon went missing. So about 7 months after her disappearance is when the Vermont State Police was formed. So that's just kind of an interesting tidbit. She's probably the most known disappearance out of these five. So then this is insane. Exactly 3 years after she disappeared, like to the day, another guy disappears
on the
in this area,
in the exact same area,
like, not the exact same area, but in the Bennington Triangle.
Okay,
so this guy is James E. Tedford, also spelled T Ford or Teat Ford, like we're not for sure, there's lots of different ways it's spelled, but he's a veteran. And on December 1st, 1949, he was on a bus and he had just visited some relatives in St. Albans. So he was coming back home on this local bus. He was actually a resident of the Bennington Soldiers Home. As I said, he was a veteran. So he was going back there from visiting relatives. And according to the bus, or according to like witnesses on the bus, Tedford got on the bus and he was still on the bus at the last stop, which was before arriving in Bennington, which was his home. So like the last stop before Bennington, people saw him sitting on the bus just in his seat with his luggage. But then somewhere between that last stop and the arriving in Bennington, he vanished. He literally vanished in a moving vehicle. This is the one that really like makes me upset because he was
witnesses.
Yeah, people saw him like on when they stopped at the last stop, he was still on the bus, like when they started moving. So like there's literally like the bus did not stop and people saw him on the bus. But then all of a sudden when they arrived.
No, I mean like with him, like at that time to Bennington.
Oh, he was alone, like traveling alone. But there was like other people on the bus, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I was like, did everyone get off and he was like the only one on the bus?
No, there was other people on the bus.
How crowded was the bus? Second of all, like, I feel like I would see someone disappear unless it's like,
I know, weird. He literally disappeared and his belongings were still on the luggage rack and there was still an open bus timetable on his like vacant seat. So like his stuff was there and then he just literally vanished in a moving vehicle, which is insane. And people say they think he vanished around Route 7, which is going through the Bennington Triangle. So yeah, that one is insane. Like, that one probably freaks me out the most out of these five.
The one thing that I wonder with all just like random, like that kind of disappearance and stuff like that, how do you get chosen?
Exactly. Why this guy, you know?
That's what my thing is. I'm like, theoretically, like, yes, it could be random, but it's like, why and how? And
is there like a waiting list? Like, there's a there's like an online list, and it's like, who wants to disappear in the Bermuda Triangle, or who wants to disappear in the Bennington Triangle? And like, you're on the waiting list, so like, you might get chosen, but you don't know when or why.
No, what? Oh my god, me going back to this world is just a whole bunch of sim for God. God's just like, oh, I don't like this character no more. Boop.
Who knows? Like, honestly, the moving vehicle thing freaks me out, though.
Like, it's like locations where you can do that.
Yeah. Like, there's little like blips in like time.
Like set destination. It's like, you can only disappear here, here, and here, and here.
Yeah.
So whatever you want, decide. Because I was like, we can't just disappear all over the place.
Someone just hangs out in the Bennington Triangle until they disappear.
Oh my god.
That would be like so funny. Just someone sitting on a bench like, okay, when am I going to disappear now? So the next disappearance is October 12th, 1950. This was 8-year-old Paul Jepson, and he was with his mother in a truck, and she left her son unattended for about an hour to feed some pigs. And I know that sounds weird, but her husband and her were caretakers of this like dump where there was pigs. So she was feeding them, and her kid was just waiting in the car, waiting in the truck, you know. About an hour later, she returns and her son is nowhere in sight. And they had tons of search parties to look for the child, but nothing was ever found. And he was actually wearing a bright red jacket that should have made him more visible, but still like nothing. And according to one story, bloodhounds tracked the boy to a local highway where, according to local legend, 4 years earlier, that's where Paula Weldon had disappeared. So they're saying like the bloodhounds like tracked his scent to this specific location, like the same location Paula supposedly disappeared. That's mostly legend, but still it's creepy. And some people say they thought he was lured to the mountains because days before, all he could talk about was the mountains, like with his mom.
No.
And then all of a sudden, he's disappeared. So, yeah, that's, again, real creepy. Now let's talk about the last disappearance. And this one ends a little differently than the rest of them. So this occurred 16 days after little 8-year-old Paul Jepson disappeared. So these are really close together. And this was October 28th, 1950. Frieda Langer, who was a hiker and a survivalist.
No.
Yep. She was 53 and she was with her cousin, and they left the family campsite near Somerset Reservoir to go on a hike. And during the hike, Langer slipped and she actually fell into a stream. So she was like, okay, I'm going to go back to the campsite really quick. I'm going to get some new clothes. And actually, her husband was there at the camp because his knee was bad. So he was resting it up. So he was waiting at the camp. So she was like, okay, I'm going to go back, change my clothes at the camp, and I'll meet you back here. So she ran off in her wet clothes and Elsner was waiting there. But when she didn't return, Elsner made his way back to the camp and discovered that Langer never showed up to the campsite. Like, her husband never saw her come in and change clothes. And no one had seen her since she had left that stream that she fell in. So over the next 2 weeks, 5 searches were conducted. 5. Involving aircraft, helicopters, 300 searchers, the National Guard, like, these were intense searches of this area, and no trace of her was found during these 2 weeks of searches. But then, May 12th, 1951, 6 months later, her body was found near Somerset Reservoir, which is an extremely open area that they had searched like dozens of times before. Dozens of times. And then they find her 6 months later. Like, it was almost like she was placed there, you know?
Nope. No.
What creeps me out the most is, like, months before they searched this so extensively, and then she was just found in this open area. And since her body was in horrible conditions, like, they could not determine a cause of death from her remains. So, honestly, that one I'm pretty sure could have been a murder.
Yeah. Have you done... Is this a national park?
No, this is just... There's a bunch of woods around this triangle area. The Bennington Forest is a lot of this. But that's the last disappearance. And there's a few theories that I'll talk about on, like, why this is happening. But some people say there's a serial killer. Because it was a 5-year period where these people went missing. And it's all in the same area, kind of around the same time frame. So some people think serial killer.
But how would you explain the one guy?
Yeah, the bus guy? I have no idea. There's
that?
Literally, I remember listening to a YouTube video or something about it, and she had like one or two explanations, but I can't remember
there
what
is
they
no
were.
Explanation. Like, there's no way, like, me disappearing right now in this recording studio without walking through that door.
Some people think maybe he had got off on the last bus stop and, like, no one noticed it. But, like, tons of people said they saw him. So that's the thing. It's, like, multiple people. And also his luggage was there. So if he got off, why would he leave his luggage there?
I feel like, too, you would see at least one person would see him getting off the bus with him.
Yeah, that's weird.
You're like the last one off, but even the bus driver, I feel like.
Some people think it's because a mountain lion or a catamount, but catamounts have been extinct since the 40s. And also, a mount, like, I'm always skeptical when people try to blame, like, disappearances on mountain lions and stuff. Because usually there would be some trace.
Remains.
Yeah. Because mountain lions aren't trying to hide the remains. They're just going to eat and leave. You know? And also, obviously, UFOs, paranormal forces. People talk about that. The weird thing is all of these cases have similarities. So they were all last seen during the 3 months of the year. So October, November, December. They all disappeared during these 3 months. And they were all gone between 3 and 4 p.m. Literally, there's 1 hour in 3 months over 5 years, and they all disappear during that time frame. That's creepy. Like, just the timing of all this is what freaks me out the most. But around this area, people still hear weird things. So, like, on radios, they'll, like, hear weird voices on radios. They'll see mysterious figures while they're hiking. There's, like, unexplained navigation issues. People get lost, even though they have, like, maps out or they know the area really well. And there's also been plane crashes. But when I tried to look up the plane crashes, I couldn't find much on it. So I'm not sure if that's just speculation or if it's true. But I think I remember hearing, like, one really small plane has crashed there, like, very unexplained. But yeah, that's mainly what I have for you today. Super crazy disappearances up in Vermont. So if we have any listeners in Vermont, like, don't go here. And if you disappear, then let us know about it so we can cover it. But yeah, that's what we got for today. Kind of a little shorter episode.
But yeah, no, I did the one that I still... Okay, so if you know me, I'm a very logical person. Very logical.
Yeah.
How do I explain it? I'm spiritual, but logical at the same time.
At the same time. Yeah, it's a thing.
It's a thing. But...
The bus guy freaks you out.
The bus guy. That bugs me the most.
Oh, wait. I forgot to ask you. Okay, how shook were you on our last episode with the cult?
Cult. I gave it a... like a 7.
A 7? What about this one?
7.5 because it's just...
7.5, guys. We're breaking records here. We're breaking
just because
records.
Of the bus guy, I'm just like, how do... All this... Okay. Because I can understand, like, killing and all this and that. And, like, the timing is like, oh, coincidence. The guy on the bus.
Moving vehicle, literally.
Also, if he got off the bus, he would still be alive. So... In some way, at least at one point, usually you'll contact somebody that you know.
Yeah, that guy is one of the weirdest disappearances I've ever heard of. Just because, literally so many people saw him and he was on a moving vehicle. So it's like, where do you go from there? Like, it's literally like you're so pinpoint. It's like, how does someone disappear from that situation?
Oh my God. What time, what like year was it?
It was 1950.
Oh man, because I was like, I think
wait, 1949. 1950 was the little boy and the woman.
Oh man, because I was like, if it was like earlier too, it'd be like a like they would have cameras on the buses now.
I know. Like, oh my gosh, that would be like that would go viral. You just see like a guy boop.
Yeah.
Well, we better leave it off here. But thanks for listening. Make sure to check out our Instagram at Cults Conspiracies Creepies. Please. Also, our Gmail. You can email us any business ideas or
any just ideas
and thing. Yeah.
Or just chit chat with us because we love criticism, constructive criticism.
Yes, make sure to leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or Spotify, wherever you listen.
I think you can only review on iTunes.
Really?
I think so.
I'm not sure if the other ones have reviews, but yeah, iTunes definitely.
iTunes
give us an
for sure.
But yeah, thanks for listening, and we will see you next time. Bye.